That, as is what he preaches, is, I like that word you often use, bollocks. Complete bollocks. I'm going to try to have a conversation with him today. Mira took a moment to consider. He will, if you manage to have that conversation, be respectful. He's a careful man, but he will not respect your authority. In fact, it will offend him. You're a woman, therefore less by nature and biology and the grand plan. He may speak with you out of curiosity. You know a lot about him. I considered doing my dissertation on cults, with natural order highlighted. I decided on serial killers. I'll add that if you're right about the technology on Gwen Huffman's link, whoever tracked or watched her already knew her secret and has a reason to continue to keep it, or killed to gain even more power over her. Either way, it goes back to money. Greed and power. Classic motives. As she spoke, Mira ran the thin gold chain around her neck through her fingers. Though your killer is a planner, he's disorganized. He watched and waited, but then struck in an impulsive and risky manner. Evidence indicates he sealed up before entering, but if he brought a weapon, why not use it? The music was on, sure, and if he had a recorder on Gwen's link, he heard Ariel say she was going to work. He heard Gwen leave. But, Eve added, that's no guarantee she'd be in the studio. She could have come down after Gwen left, or she could have been facing the stairs instead of away, seen him come in, picked up a weapon of her own. Exactly so. Smarter, by far, to watch and wait near the building until the lights go out. Wait until he could be reasonably sure the victim had gone back to bed. Strike then. Smarter still to make it look like a break-in. Pacing, Eve put herself into the killer's place. You've got the key. You've used it before. How could you resist? So you know the locks are crap. Grab some art, some tools, mess the place up. Unless you want fingers pointing at Gwen. And if that's the thing, why didn't you place an anonymous call and implicator? Disorganized, impulsive. Mira rose. I have to get to my office. I'd like to know your impressions if you do speak with Wilkie. I'll copy you on my report. I appreciate the time. I hope it helped. I admit, I'm more fascinated than ever. Alone, Eve started the cross match, adding Mira's insights to her notes as it ran. Then she contacted Chad Billingsley. He looked exactly like his ID shot. Not always the case. Young, attractive, stylishly rumpled dark blonde hair, wide-set brown eyes. He also looked baffled when she identified herself and asked about Gwen Huffman.
Ah, yeah. We were engaged, briefly, a few years ago. A lifetime ago.
He tried a hesitant smile.
What, did she kill somebody?
Why would you ask?
Lieutenant Eve Dallas. I read the book, saw the vid.
Ms. Huffman is, at this time, a material witness in an ongoing investigation. Your name came up in connection with her.
Really? Weird. I haven't seen Gwen in years. 4, I guess. Maybe 5? I've closed that door, you know.
If you could open it again, tell me the names of any of her particular friends or enemies during the time you knew her.
Man.
He shoved his fingers through his hair.
She didn't really have what we call trip B's. Best bosom buds. I guess she was pretty popular, but it was mostly surface when you look back on it. I mean, she was beautiful and stylish and pretty much had unlimited funds, so she's gonna get invited to parties and all that. But she didn't belong to any clubs or groups, hang with anybody all that much. Except you. Yeah, well. He smiled a little, and dimples popped into his cheeks. For a while. During the course of my investigation, your engagement to Ms. Huffman and the circumstances of its termination came up. Well, shit. You never closed the door hard enough. Look, Lieutenant, that was a long time ago. Understood. It would be helpful if you could give me your whereabouts on Monday evening from 9 to midnight. His eyes widened in alarm. Is Gwen okay? Did somebody try to hurt her? She's fine, Mr. Billingsley. I'm just checking off boxes. Routine. Okay, Jesus. I can tell you where I was Monday. I was working on my final project for the term. Grad school. Engineering. 6 of us have a group house, and we're all humping it this last couple weeks. We ordered pizza from Lorenzo's. I don't remember when it got there. But 4 of us were at home all night. 2 of us came in from the science lab about 9, I think, and scarfed up whatever was left. My girl and I, we share a room in the house, knocked off about 1:30 and went to bed. I can give you the names. I'll let you know if that becomes necessary. Mr. Billingsley, I feel you deserve to know that the circumstances of your breakup with Ms. Huffman were false. A setup. His right shoulder jerked in a careless shrug. I know. You know? Yeah. He pressed his fingers to his eyes, then scrubbed his face with his hand. This is like waking the dead or something. I never cheated on her. I never used an LC. I loved her. When you love somebody, you're faithful. It was the worst time in my life. I knew I hadn't done it, but it was right there, all over the fucking internet. She wouldn't even talk to me and ran home. My friends believed me and my family, but there were plenty. I'm like barely 20, heart busted, life over. He shook it off, literally. Anyway, my uncle, well, great uncle, he's a cop. Is that so? Yeah, my mom's Uncle Stu, and he believed me and did some cop stuff and tracked down the LC. She told him Gwen paid her $2,000 to come into my dorm room, get naked, do the recording. How I'd be zonked out, how it was just a prank. Must have pissed you off. Yeah, it pissed me off, but more it just cut. He blew out a long breath. Man, it cut. Your uncle must have told you that you could have charged Gwen on several counts. Yeah, and he wanted me to, but I wanted it over. It didn't just piss me off, cut me. But I had to ask myself, what kind of person does that? Nobody I want to be with. I loved her, and I thought she loved me. If she didn't, and didn't want to get married, she could have said that. It would have cut, sure, but it wouldn't have humiliated me and screwed with my head. Anyway, I got through it and graduated. Took a gap year to get some work experience. Now it's grad school, and I met Holly. Gwen's yesterday. But she taught me a lesson. What lesson's that? He smiled again, and the dimples popped back. It's engineering, man. Something might look bright and shiny on the outside, but the structure's what counts. A good lesson, Eve thought. and added the conversation to her murder book. She scanned her search results. 2 matches in her initial 20. She'd run those names and removed the violent offenses from the filter. Impulsive, Mira said, and maybe a first act of violence. While that ran, she contacted a valuable source. Nadine first came onto her screen. Her normally sharp green eyes looked teary.
Jesus, what? Eve demanded. I've just finished a tour of Mavis and Leonardo's and Peabody and McNabb's house. Mavis is in there now with an architect, an engineer. They're starting demo tomorrow.
Already?
They're Rourke's guys. Already had the plans, expedited permits. She's so stupidly happy. She's dancing one minute, crying the next.
It got me. It really got me. She dabbed at her eyes.
As it happens, I was about to come your way.
Why?
Why'd you tag me?
Natural order. What do you know?
I might know some of this, some of that.
Now those cat's eyes turned sharp. Was the artist who was murdered a member?
No.
The killer, then. If I knew the identity of the killer, I'd be making an arrest instead of talking to you.
Digging, then. I'd be happy to have a little tete-a-tete with some tit-for-tat included.
You've already got tits, and I don't have a tat.
Then we'll quid some quo, Nadine said breezily. Why don't you meet me in that sweet little park between Central and Mavis's new place? That's a nice little walk for both of us.
You said you were coming here. Now you want me to meet you in the park?
Neutral ground, Alice. And since I'm going to be in the studio all afternoon, I'd like to soak up a little spring. See you there.
She clicked off before Eve could argue. Annoyed, but reminding herself what Nadine didn't know she could usually find out, she left the search running. Since, knowing Nadine, she already had the tap for the tit or the quo for the quid, she went to Peabody in the bullpen.
I'm going out to meet Nadine, see what she knows or can find out about natural order. I'll fill you in on that, on the mirror consult, and on my conversation with Billingsley when I get back. Keep running the cross matches.
Where are you meeting her?
That dinky little park a couple blocks from the new house.
Oh, that's such a sweet one. Pretty green space and the playground. McNabb and I can walk right by it on the way to work once the house is finished. Mavis buzzed me that demo's starting tomorrow. I can't believe it. We're going to
run the matches, Eve finished firmly. Full run on any. I'll be back. She escaped from what she knew would be a daily spewing of bubbly and, rejecting the elevator, took the glides all the way down. It gave her time to think, but what she wanted more was information. Information she could then sift through at her desk with a cup of coffee. She hadn't considered Chad Billingsley as a viable suspect, but now she crossed him off the bottom of her list, and he'd given her a little more, a confirmation of what she'd already concluded for herself. Gwen didn't make friends. She selected tools. And in the case of Billingsley, Gwen had finally told the truth. On the main floor, she took one of the side exits out of the busy lobby and hit the busy sidewalk. Apparently, everyone in New York wanted to soak up some spring. She saw business types with jackets hooked over their shoulders by a finger or draped over an arm. Tourists gawking. Shoppers hauling bags to the next place they could buy something else.
The corner glide cart did a brisk business selling water, soft drinks, dogs, and pretzels. The smoke pumping off the cart smelled of meat and onions. Concrete planters, too cumbersome to steal, burst with flowers. Vehicles streaming by had their windows open to the air, so the sound of traffic, of horns and curses, mixed with music, from trash rock to opera. A woman in tiny red shorts, two white bags over her arm, glittery frame sunglasses obscuring half her face, minced along on red and white striped ankle boots. She had to mince, Eve figured, as the boots had tall needles for heels. She, very casually, held the leash of a black and white dog as big as a pony. She minced right into a deli with the dog in violation of several health laws. Eve kept walking. She saw a woman dressed like the Statue of Liberty, hyping some joint called Lady Liberty, a guy with a mustache that drooped a good 3 inches below his chin, passing out flyers for a fortune teller. She spotted a woman sunbathing on a fire escape in a bikini barely big enough to avoid the indecent exposure laws, and the several people who paused to take pictures or vids as she, well, soaked up some spring. New York had it all. The little park did have some green space with some short flowers running along its borders. Beside it, twice as much space held the playground with its spongy checkerboard of primary colors covering the ground. Kids sent up a din as they swung on swings, climbed on climbing things, slid down sliding things, tunneled through tunnel things. Parents, grandparents, nannies watched indulgently. Strollers, carriage things lined up like cars in a lot. Some still held the bags and backpacks she assumed carried kid and baby paraphernalia. Nadine had already claimed a short bench and sat in her off-air jeans, a blousy white shirt, and white kicks. Her sunshades neither glittered nor obscured half her face. Eve sat next to her. "It sounds like a war." "I was just sitting here wondering how the adults know if the scream is a happy one or an I just broke my arm one. God, I love those boots. They got me here. What do you know about natural order?" "You might be interested to know that when I was just starting out at 75, I planned to do an exposé on them." "Planned to?" "It didn't work out, but I did many man-hours of research, conducted interviews. I even dug up the names of 3 former members. It cost me $1,500 and got me next to nothing, as none of them, not one, would talk to me. Even off the record. I signed up for an introductory seminar, which cost me $250, and that didn't include the $2,000 I spent on fake ID and background to get through their security." Nadine tipped down her sunshades. "That's out of pocket for a young, struggling reporter who wasn't on expense account. I got through the first session, the break, refreshments and chit-chat, before they broke through the fake ID and booted me." "You're better now, richer now, and have an expense account." Nadine beamed a cheerful smile. "All true, but you'd better believe they know me. I wouldn't get through the door now. I've invited Wilkie and his 3 sons, his daughter, to come on now, or to give me an interview." "Denied. They only talk to, we'll say, sympathetic reporters and or plant positive stories through their very extensive and efficient PR. And they're exceedingly well-funded." "What did the young, struggling reporter find out?" Nadine reached in her humongous shoulder bag, took out a small tube of water, offered Eve a second. I gave you a solid hint of the quid. Let's have a little quo. Red light on the info until I clear it. Understood, as always. The victim was having an affair with Gwendolyn Huffman.
Wait.
The Gwen Huffman, who's engaged to Merritt Kane, about to have the wedding of the season? Was engaged, was having.
Well, interesting.
That's going to leak to the society and gossip channels ASAP. 75 gave her a full 15-minute segment just last week. You can leak the breakup, but not the reason, and not her connection to my victim. Nadine crossed her ankles, studied her own kicks. That's going to leak, too. Sure it will, but I need to keep it plugged as long as I can. It gets out, she loses any motivation to cooperate. Now I've got her where I need her.
Is she a suspect?
No, but connected. That's enough quo. Give me more quid. Nadine sipped some water. Stanton Wilkie, born in Kansas, a small struggling farm, had three siblings. Complications during the birth of his younger sister, and the choice of no doctor, no midwife, home birth, killed the mother. Besides the three live births, she'd had at least three miscarriages. The father remarried about 6 months later.
Wow, so much grief.
Eve's curse. Not you, Nadine said with a laugh at Eve's baffled frown. The Adam and Eve one. She always gets the pointy end of the stick. Ain't that the truth? Anyway, I was able to convince the mother's sister to talk to me when I was working on the expose. She despises Jethro Wilkie, Stanton's father. That's what she claimed he called it, Eve's curse. Women are meant to bear children, birth them in pain and blood. His second wife was 18 to his 39, just 18. They married on her birthday, as her parents refused parental consent. She had two children before she ran off with them. Apparently, women are also meant to do what they're told, when they're told, or get a good belt in the mouth.
Did she file charges?
Too afraid, according to the aunt, who knows the second wife's family. Fortunately for her, Wilkie the First didn't have the money to go after her or the two daughters she'd had with him. Word was, according to my source, he claimed the second wife had tainted blood anyway. Her great-grandmother was Native American. He married a third time, without benefit of a legal divorce, but that wife and the baby she carried died in childbirth. Nadine scooted around, so she and Eve sat face to face. Stanton Wilkie and his siblings were raised by this man. He was a white supremacist, a misogynist, and a religious fanatic. His version of religion. He was also a raging alcoholic, an abuser who refused to send his children to what he considered government facilities, schools, hospitals. He homeschooled them with his twisted vision of history, science, and so on. They never saw a doctor, had inoculations, screenings, dental care.
Okay, yeah, I know the type.
He died from a diseased liver when Wilkie was 16. His sister, 14, had clearly been sexually abused. Child Services placed her and Wilkie with the aunt. The two older sons were 18 and 20, so legal age. Stanton Wilkie took off, but the aunt was able to get the sister into therapy. She eventually became a therapist herself, has never married, lives quietly. She wouldn't talk to me, and I didn't push there. Nadine gestured with the tube. Your turn. 1 second. Eve spotted the thief, early 20s, in his running shoes, with his battered brown shopping bag as he loitered around the strollers. He'd casually unzipped one of the backpacks when he saw her coming. He ran. She ran faster. She grabbed his arm, blocked his punch, then kicked his legs out from under him.
"What the hell, lady?"
"Lieutenant." She held him down, a knee to his chest, and flashed her badge.
"I didn't do anything. I'm just walking here."
"Why did you run?"
"I wanted some exercise."
She noted the shopping bag was empty, which meant he'd already passed on his latest haul or was just starting the day's work. "You're sloppy. If I run you, I'm going to find priors, maybe a parole violation. You're going to get a break because I'm busy, and since you're sloppy, the next cop that busts you won't be so busy. But listen, and listen real careful." She leaned down, shoved her face into his. "My friend brings her kid to this park. If I see you anywhere near this area again, I'm going to bust you for exposing yourself to minors."
"What?"
His eyes popped wide to goggle.
"I never did. I never would."
"You're exposing them to a half-assed street thief right now. Get gone. Stay gone." She stood. He ran. With a shake of her head, she picked up the shopping bag he'd left behind, then stuffed it in the nearest recycler before she went back to the bench.
"How did you make him?" Nadine wondered.
"He's loitering around a playground with no kid, not watching them, so I figured not a pervert, but watching the adults and easing his way toward the bags the adults are brainless enough to leave unattended. So, thief. Anyway." She gave Nadine the basics on the murder, on Gwen's relationship with the victim, and the cover-up. "She could have contacted somebody. Had them do the murder." When Eve simply leveled the stare, Nadine sat back. "Which you've already looked into."
"Oliver and Paula Huffman. I don't know anything about them, except they're doctors, rich, and were giving the bride away. They're members of Natural Order."
Nadine rolled that around.
"They don't know their daughter's gay.
She was caught as a teenager with another girl.
So they know. Listen, Dallas, there are rumors, or were when I tried to break into this, of conversion centers. Realignment centers, they call them, according to Gwen. Her parents sent her to one on the island Natural Order owns."
"That's criminal," Nadine murmured. "Except maybe it's not in the legal sense, as Utopia Island has sovereign nation status and its own laws. Listen, I've got to get to the station. I'll dig up my research, send it to you, and I'll dig in some more. I want this exclusive, Dallas. Wilkie's a lunatic. I didn't have the chops to expose this before. My chops are bigger and sharper now. You help expose all this, I'll give you an exclusive one-on-one. On now. It's important, Dallas, and a full segment on now with my audience. It has reach."
"Done."
Before Eve could stand, Nadine put a hand on her arm.
"Wait, I was coming to Central to give you this."
She reached in her bag again, pulled out a book.
"Hot off the press?"
"The Red Horse Legacy," Eve read.
"Talk about lunatics. It's not out for another 10 days, but you get the first copy. Who knows how many more they'd have killed if you hadn't rooted them out?"
Eve merely grunted. "Your name's bigger on this one than on the ICOV agenda." Smiling, Nadine fluttered her lashes.
"Is it? I didn't notice."
She shouldered her bag and rose. 10 days and it launches, and I start a very intense book tour. We're gonna close your case, expose Wilkie and his sick order, and report it all on now before I leave. We'll do that because we're the smart girls. That's order of priority. Eve got to her feet. Close the case, expose Wilkie, blather about it on screen. We wouldn't have had this conversation if you didn't know I understand the priorities. You got that right. And I got something else. Grinning, Nadine wiggled her shoulders. I got my next book. 12. As Eve walked back into Central, her communicator signaled with a message to report to Whitney. One glance toward the banks of elevators had her taking the glides. When she reached the commander's office, she found his door open and his admin's desk empty. He sat at his desk, broad-shouldered, wide-faced, his close-cropped black hair shot with gray. He still had the eyes of a street cop, and she had reason to know he still carried those instincts. It made him, to her mind, well-suited for command. He read something on his desk screen while a glass of dank green liquid stood at his elbow. Eve wrapped her knuckles on the door jamb. Whitney glanced up, gestured her inside.
Lieutenant, I've read your reports on the aerial bird investigation. Any further progress since your morning interviews with Gwendolyn Huffman and Merritt Kane?
I consulted with Dr. Mira. Eve ran through the salient points while Whitney nodded and while he scowled at the glass on his desk. Following that, I had a conversation with Nadine first. He glanced up.
While Nadine's a reliable and ethical source, this investigation leans hard into sensitive areas.
She'll hold the information I gave her, sir, and gave me more than I gave her.
Such as?
Again, he listened, this time sitting back as he took in the information. Through the window behind him, Eve saw an ad blimp lumber over the city. Across its fat body flashed some hype for spring sales at the Sky Mall.
And she's willing to turn over her notes and research on natural order.
I'd say the word is eager, Commander. She's got her teeth in it. She was less experienced, likely made some mistakes, and they booted her out. She hasn't forgotten that. Clearly, she wants another shot.
She may have been lucky to have been considered a nuisance rather than a threat and only got the boot.
He gestured to her.
What have you got there?
No way out of it, Eve thought. It's her book, Commander. An early copy of her book on the Red Horse case. When he crooked a finger, Eve stepped to the desk, handed it over.
You vetted this, I assume?
Yes, sir. It's accurate. Maybe dramatic in parts, but accurate. He arched his eyebrows.
Infecting people with an airborne virus that causes hallucinations, making them murderous or suicidal, qualifies as dramatic, I'd say.
He handed it back, picked up his glass, set it down again.
My wife went to a workshop.
Carefully, Eve said, Yes, sir.
On health, nutrition, longevity, mind-body connectivity.
Being an experienced investigator, Eve studied the green gunk. I see.
The workshop led to another workshop and classes, which have resulted in what you see here. Her recipe, more accurately, her concoction of raw fruits, vegetables, vitamin supplements, herbs, and Christ knows into 10 ounces of questionable liquid to be consumed once daily, midday, apparently.
She felt sincere and sharp pity.
And you're supposed to drink that? I'm on my second day of my first week's supply. To be dispensed by my admin, whom she ordered to make it so.
Anna Whitney, Eve thought, had a long and steely reach. I didn't see him at his desk.
He's at lunch, undoubtedly something he can actually chew.
However, he lifted the glass, then angled his head.
I have more, if you'd like to infuse your body, mind, and spirit with antioxidants and superfoods.
Thank you, sir. I'll pass.
A lesser man would order you to drink, so I don't suffer alone.
Instead, he took one heroic gulp.
Have a seat, Dallas.
She figured she understood the Whitneys' marriage rules included drinking gunk, but didn't have a clue why he hadn't dismissed her after her update. She sat.
As your investigation has connections to Natural Order, its membership and Stanton Wilkie, I reached out to the FBI. They have investigated Natural Order, as has Homeland, Interpol, and others for a number of years. The feds have successfully prosecuted individual members for violent crimes, though they have never successfully tied those acts to Wilkie or any of his family.
A cabbage rots from the head. It took him a minute.
A fish rots from the head. Cabbage is already a head, but yes, I agree.
I've learned the FBI put an agent undercover into the membership. It took considerable time and resources. My information is the agent had begun to work his way up.
10 days ago, he went silent. He hasn't reported in, hasn't returned to the apartment used during his assignment, or to the workplace used in his cover.
He got made.
That is the conclusion and the fear. This was an experienced agent whose cover was meticulously created. The assistant director, who spoke frankly with me, states this isn't the first operation to go south. Witnesses, former members who spoke to law enforcement or the media often recant, are deemed unreliable due to illegals abuse or other issues, or simply disappear. Your investigation offers a new angle, he continued. A prominent family who appear mainstream, now involved in a murder that, it turns out, appears motivated by the daughter's affair with another woman. It provides a new pressure point. Due to that, the FBI is willing to share their accumulated data on Natural Order in exchange for the NYPSD providing them with the data on the investigation.
Another quid pro quo, Eve thought. It seemed to be the day for them. I plan to attempt to interview Wilkie today, Commander. Straightforward, she added. Routine due to the 911 caller's connection to his group. I don't plan to include Gwen Huffman's affair with the victim, though that will leak. She's deluding herself that she can keep that locked up, as too many people already know.
Will she testify, once it leaks, to the forced treatment she received on the island?
It depends on if she sees any personal advantage, and I hope to convince her of just that. I'll add protective custody to that if she agrees to testify, Commander. A safe house. She won't like it, but if she's afraid enough, she'll take it.
See that she's afraid enough. And watch your six with Wilkie. He didn't get where he is by being easily led.
Yes, sir.
Keep me fully apprised. Dismissed.
When she rose, he picked up the glass again. She heard his muttered, "Sweet Christ, Anna," as she walked out of his office. When she swung into Homicide, into the smell of cop coffee and overseasoned veggie hash, she said, "Peabody," and kept going. Peabody, the remaining pocket of hash in one hand, a diet cherry fizzy in the other, hustled after her.
"Grabbing some lunch at my desk. You were longer than I figured."
The commander wanted a briefing.
"I caught up with your consult with Mira from your notes."
"Good, saves time." Eve dropped the book on her desk and hit the auto chef for coffee.
"Oh, Nadine's book! It looks mag. And, you know, important. Look, she signed it to you. Dallas, my partner in crime, Nadine. Oh, and she dedicated it to us. All of us. She's got our names here, everyone in the division, and Rourke, too, and Whitney, and everybody who was on that investigation. For their valor, it says."
That drew Eve to the desk to read over Peabody's shoulder. Okay, she gets points for that. Now close that, because she gave me more than a book. She filled Peabody in.
"If Nadine has research, it's gonna add. And she'll dig more now."
"Yeah, she will." Drinking coffee, Eve sat on the corner of her desk. The fact they made her so fast means they do some heavy screening on potential members. Whitney had more. While Peabody washed down the hash with fizzy, Eve outlined her briefing with Whitney.
"Jesus, Dallas, if they actually took out a federal agent,
they're hiding something big. The realignment center's big, but if it's located inside a sovereign nation, the NYPSD can't do much about it. Interpol, maybe."
"Proof. Not just speculation, but proof it exists that people and minors are forced to undergo all that? It's gonna turn most people hard against them."
"Yeah, and a lot of those people would have deep pockets. Still, bigger than that, I think. Or if not bigger, just more.
We've got a few possibles on the searches and matches," Peabody told her. "One match from Gwen's list to a woman who works as a potter in Soho with a connection to Natural Order. Her brother was a member."
"Was?"
"Whereabouts unknown. For 2 years now. There's a guy, Tribeca, a member in good standing along with his wife. He's also employed by Natural Order as a VP in their social media outreach department. 3 assault charges, all in his 20s. He's 35 now, and no bumps for 6 years. He was a patient of Oliver Huffman. He has 3 children, ages 5, 3, 2, all delivered by Paula Huffman. His wife has professional mother status."
"Okay. So they're all tight."
"The last is East Village. Female, current member, member for 8 years. She's a professional mother of 4. 1 set of twins, married to another member, a microbiologist for 7 years. Gwen listed her as her first. She's 28, so a few years older than Gwen. 1 arrest right after she turned 21. Aggravated assault, which she claimed was self-defense. Charges dropped. And a quick run on the public defender who got them dropped? A member of the order."
"Good work. We'll find more, but this is good work. Let's go talk to all 3 before we jump over to Connecticut to tackle Wilkie."
"He may not see us.
We'd be out of our jurisdiction anyway. Should I let the locals know we're going to the HQ?
What are the odds Wilkie made sure he has at least one officer inside the local PSD?
Really good odds, now that you say it.
He may not see us. But if we try to make an appointment to talk to him or alert the locals, he'll know we're coming. Let's not give him too much time to prepare.
Eve paused in the bullpen.
Peabody and I are in the field, likely through the end of shift. Anybody needs anything? Reinecke shot his hand up with a yo. Eve tried, really tried, to ignore his flamingo pink socks as he swung his feet off his desk.
Just need you to sign off on this.
She scanned the paperwork he offered, scrawled her signature with her finger on the tablet, then looked at him.
Do you seriously coordinate your socks with the ties?
It's the little things, boss.
It's the little things that add some ups to your day.
Anything else, contact me. Peabody, let's go.
It's kind of cute, Peabody commented as they hit the glides. The socks and ties. I mean, sure, Jenkinson's ties are mongo bad, but so mongo they're kind of endearing. They make my eyes sting.
But since she'd just signed off on a case they'd closed, a very nasty slice and dice, she'd give them their ups.
We'll take Tribeca first. Professional mother of three under the age of six is probably home.
That would be Marcia Piper, spouse of Lawrence, age 28. She was a model, very successful in advertising, billboards. They're both Caucasian.
The women, especially, get married really young.
Yeah, that's a pattern I'm seeing, Peabody agreed. Early to mid-20s. Another pattern is having a child inside the first year to year and a half, then professional mother status or some sort of work connected to the group.
Follows, Eve considered as they worked their way down. Women are made to have and raise kids, serve their husbands, as well as the order. The younger they are, the easier they are to indoctrinate, if they didn't grow up in a natural order family, and manipulate.
Wow. I'm digging back, and she's just gorgeous. Being gorgeous and photogenic earned her $6.5 to $7 million a year the last couple years before she got married. Now, with her PM status and what her husband makes with natural order, they pull in less than a quarter of that. Not chump change, sure, but a lot to give up. Not just the money, but the career, you know?
Using your face and body to shill products? Probably not on the approved list for women.
When they reached the garage, Eve gestured to Peabody's PPC, took a look at the woman she hoped to interview.
Yeah, she's got the looks. It's probably not approved to model half-naked either.
With sun-kissed red hair flowing to her waist, Marcia Piper wore nothing but strategically placed black straps as she posed. Pouty lips, slumberous eyes, milk-white skin, and a slim, angular body model sold.
Plug in the address, Eve told Peabody as they got into the car.
After she had, Peabody continued to read about Marcia's modeling career.
She traveled all over the world and talked about moving into acting. Then bang, that's that.
Pondering it, she sat back.
I can see giving it all up if you just want to be a mom. Or you burned out on all the travel and hype and all that. You fall in love and everything changes for you. A lot of women choose that, men too, and focus in on making a home, raising kids.
But she fits the pattern. Meet the guy, join the order, get married, give up everything outside that.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out which it is.
Peabody paused to glance at her signaling link.
McNabb. No texts, E or V mails, no calls or contacts on Gwen's link after her texts with Merritt Kane.
That's looking like a rabbit hole.
What about a tracker? Did he find anything?
He did, and he's working on extracting it. The link's chewed up some, and he doesn't want to damage the tracker. He's working on it.
Good enough, Eve decided, and drove to Tribeca.
The Pipers had a skinny post-urban townhouse in a row of skinny post-urban townhouses. Someone had tried to cheer theirs up by painting the door a bold blue and adding window boxes full of flowers to the windows that flanked it. At the moment, Eve could see someone in one of those windows spraying something on the glass and vigorously rubbing it. With only a handful of cars on the block, she found a spot easily and pulled to the curb. Regularly spaced trees, tall and slim, ran along the sidewalk.
Not what you'd call a pretty or bustling neighborhood, Peabody remarked, but it's really clean and really quiet.
Barely feels like New York. Eve saw another woman scrubbing her front stoop as if she would shortly dine on it, and another with a kid in a pack on her back carrying two bulging cloth bags into the house next door to the Pipers.
What do you bet this whole block is members?
It's uniform, cleaner than clean. Nobody's hanging out or strolling along on a really nice day.
Peabody looked around and hunched her shoulders. That would be just creepy.
Yeah, it would. I bet it is. The woman in the window stopped, stared when Eve and Peabody walked toward the blue door. Distress ran over her face. Not curiosity, not irritation, clear distress. And, Eve thought, she looked like the tired ghost of the woman in the black straps. She wore an oversized striped shirt over black workout pants. She'd hacked off what seemed like a yard of that red hair. What was left, she'd dragged back in a tail. The bones were still there, Eve noted, that foundation of beauty. But rather than luminous, the skin looked pallid. Instead of bold, the eyes carried shadows. Rather than knock, since Marcia clearly saw her, Eve just held up her badge. She saw fear first, then Marcia rushed from the window. The door, after several locks disengaged, burst open.
What is it? What's wrong? Did Larry have an accident?
No, Ms. Piper. I'm sure your husband's fine. We're here about another matter.
What do you want?
We'd like to come in.
Why? My children are upstairs napping. This is nap time. It's nap time. I have housework to finish before they wake up.
We'll try not to take up too much of your time.
I don't let strangers into the house.
Ma'am, we're the police. You can contact Cops Central and verify that.
I don't know you. I'm not letting you into the house when my children are sleeping.
All right. Maybe one of your neighbors can answer some questions about you and your husband.
Fear shot back. I don't want you talking about me and Larry with the neighbors.
We'll talk to you or talk to them.
5 minutes. Just 5 minutes.
She struck Eve as nervy as a woman holding a hot wire. Jerky movements, anxious glances toward the stairs. The living area was as shining, sparkling clean as the windows. Not a single toy in sight, not a trace of kid debris. The air smelled like an orange grove in full bloom. And clearly, under the oversized shirt,
Marcia was carrying number 4. Marcia gripped her cleaning solution. She didn't invite them to sit.
What do you want?
We'd like to ask you some questions about natural order.
I don't have to talk to you about that. We have freedom of religion.
No, you don't have to talk to us.
Our information is you've been a member for about 8 years. Prior to your marriage, you had a modeling career. I repented that.
Repented?
I don't have to talk to you about that. I have children. Children need and deserve a mother devoted to them, one who makes a home, keeps it clean and ordered and happy, makes them healthy meals, who helps to teach them the true way.
The natural order way?
We're used to outsiders spreading lies. I want you to go. I have to finish my housework. I have dinner to prepare. I have children to tend to.
One more question. You know the Huffmans? Doctors Oliver and Paula.
Dr. Paula Huffman is my obstetrician. She's helped me deliver healthy children into the world.
Your husband knew Oliver Huffman prior to your marriage, as Oliver Huffman performed a minor surgical procedure on him.
What of it? They're excellent doctors and good people. We're blessed to have them in our lives.
Your husband was a member of Natural Order when you met. Marcia's eyes darted toward the window she'd just cleaned, as if expecting to see someone staring in.
My husband showed me the way. My husband saved me from a life of debauchery and uselessness. He fulfilled me, and he provides for me and our children.
You've got bruises on your arms, Marcia. Did he put them there? Her already pallid skin lost all color.
How dare you! Get out! Get out of our house!
With those same jerky moves, she marched to the door, flung it open.
If you don't leave, I'll tell my husband. He'll deal with you.
Feel free to give him my name. Lieutenant Eve Dallas. Eve walked to the door. Do you know where he was Monday night? From about 9 to midnight?
My husband was here, in his home, as he is every night. Go away!
She slammed the door.
She's not right,
Peabody murmured as they walked back to the car.
She's on something.
Yeah, a little chemical help to keep her going, and a lot of indoctrination to keep her firmly in the fold.
She looks so tired. And she has to be about 6 months pregnant. She needs help, Dallas.
We can't help people who don't want help. She got back in the car. Larry stays on the list. A man who'd put marks on his pregnant wife shouldn't have too much trouble killing. Protecting the Huffmans, maybe. Removing a threat to Gwen so she could go right on and marry the proper type and the type with plenty of money.
Which they'd hope would eventually flow into natural order.
Maybe not probable, but possible. Let's hit the East Village.
Edina Frank, spouse Anson. She's 28. Prior to marriage, she was a teacher, elementary level. 4 kids, ages 5, 4, and 2-year-old twins. The husband's 40. A genetic researcher employed by Natural Order. They're African American.
As Eve drove, Peabody probed a little deeper.
Geez, Dallas. She was orphaned at the age of 11 when her father killed her mother, then himself. No relatives willing or able to take her, so she went into the foster system. No criminal other than the assault. The husband's got a bump for assault, too. 4 years ago. No time served. It looks like a pushy shovey that got heated.
Older husband, lots of kids, short amount of time. Same path. Let's see if she's as whacked out as Marcia. The neighborhood didn't resemble a zombie enclave.
The street offered some shady trees, some litter which made it feel normal. Duplexes, townhomes, a few restaurants taking advantage of the weather with offers of outdoor seating. The Frank House fit right in with its old faded red brick, white doors. It had a short green area inside a decorative gate with some flowers adding cheer and color. A toy lawnmower sat by the stoop. The stoop held a mat that read, "Welcome to Chaos."
"Four kids," Peabody commented. "Sounds right."
"Good security." And through the open windows, Eve heard bright chiming music and methodical banging. She pressed the buzzer. Rather than a computerized response, the door opened. A woman with a glorious explosion of hair, wearing black sweatpants and a pink tee that read Wolf Mama and carried a long yellowish stain down the center, stood with a big-eyed toddler on either hip. She looked a little frazzled, and the big dark eyes she passed to the toddlers tired, but she smiled.
"Adult human females. I'm sorry to say I don't have time to buy whatever you're selling. Try two houses down. My neighbor loves a bargain."
"We're the police, Ms. Frank." Eve held up her badge. "We'd like to come in and talk to you."
"Police?"
Idina gathered the kids closer.
"Did something happen? Is there trouble in the neighborhood?"
"No, ma'am. We're investigating another matter."
"Your name came up as an acquaintance of Gwendolyn Huffman."
"I see." Idina's face went carefully blank. "I haven't seen or spoken with Gwen in years. I'm not sure how I can help you."
"If we could come in."
Idina stepped back. The methodical banging came from a little girl on the floor of the living area, banging a spoon on a pot to the beat, sort of the chiming music generated by a somewhat smaller boy who punched bright buttons on a cube. A laundry basket sat on a table with most of the laundry in it folded. More toys scattered.
"Sasha, Harry, you mind the twins while Mommy talks to these ladies."
She set down the twins, who immediately made their toddling way to the scattered toys. Idina walked through and into the big kitchen lounge area where she could keep an eye on her brood.
"I was just 18, working toward my college tuition in the fall when I met Gwen. I had a job with a family as a kind of baby/dog sitter. Take the kids and dog to the park, feed them, entertain them, tidy up after them, that sort of thing. And I went along with them for their 2 weeks at the beach."
"The Hamptons."
"Yes, that's right. I met Gwen. We were friendly. Then the 2 weeks were up, and I came back with a family. I haven't seen or spoken to her since."
"She states you were her first."
Idina took a quiet breath in, let a quiet breath out.
"I suspect I was.
She was also mine."
"Euphemisms are important here," she added with the chin nod toward the kids.
"Understood. Who ended the friendship?"
"It just ended. We weren't serious friends, if you know what I mean. Experimental friends. I was in a sensitive time in my life where I had made the decision never to marry or have children.
I assume you know why."
"Yes."
"Then this family, this job, the kids, the dog, the happiness. I was young and torn, and I met Gwen. She was engaging, wanted a friend, so that happened. Then it ended, and I went to college and thought, for a while, I could satisfy my love of children by teaching them. Then I met Anson. I don't know what that brief experimental friendship so long ago could have to do with the police now."
Were you aware that Gwen and her family were and are members of Natural Order?
Not back then, no. Of course I know now, as Anson and I are members.
And you've had no contact with her?
None. I'm pretty occupied, as you see.
Back up, baby, we'll fold the rest later, she called out as one of the toddlers began pulling laundry from the basket.
Oh, well.
Is this about Natural Order or Gwen or what?
Gwen is a material witness in a homicide investigation.
Oh, my God. Jasper, share those blocks with your sister.
Edina shoved a hand over her hair.
Someone's dead?
Yes. We're looking at any possible connection to Natural Order.
Okay. Okay, give me a minute.
Juice tubes! She called out with incredible cheer that caused a small stampede into the kitchen.
She snuggled the toddlers into some sort of seats that attached to the counter and the two older kids at a tiny red table. They hooted, shouted out preferences, banged while she got the tubes and little bowls of tiny crackers or cookies or something kid-friendly.
That'll hold them for a few minutes.
She moved out of the kitchen into the lounge while the kids slurped, chattered, and made an unholy mess with the contents of the bowls.
I have to be very careful here. I have four children to think of. My husband has a career as well as our family to think of. We've been planning how and when to ease out of the order. Anson had his reasons for joining, and he was my reason. But since the kids... She glanced back at them. It doesn't reflect who we are now, our beliefs, our values. At the same time, the order puts food on our table, and they can be... proprietary.
That's a word, Eve said.
He's looking for another job, even if we have to move out of New York. We love this house.